It is Monday, April the 9th, 2012. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling and MMA news. And today I have a very special guest, a member of the Hart family. She is the daughter of the late, great British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, and Diana Hart. She is sister to D.H. Smith, or you remember from the Hart dynasty we saw in WWE just recently. She's the granddaughter of Stu and Helen Hart, the niece to Brett, Owen, and Jim Neidhart, and also the cousin of Teddy Hart and Natalya. Today I give you Georgia Smith. How you doing today, Georgia?
Hello. I'm great. How are you, Steve?
We're doing great, and I should mention that we did a two-part interview with your mother last year. People can check out at Gerwick.net, check out the archives. And the Hart family has always been really good to me. I interviewed your Uncle Brett in 2000, right after Owen's passing and the Montreal screw job. And I remember talking to him, and I said, is there anything you don't want to talk about? And he's like, no, whatever you need, man. And it just was super cool. And we talked to Natty before she became Natalya in WWE. We recently talked to Smith Hart, the anniversary of Owen's passing. So the Harts have always been real cool to me. And so I thought I'd reach out to you because we had a great time talking to your mother last year. And of course, I just recently learned that your mother is actually writing a novel.
Yes, she is. She is writing a fiction story. She's actually been wanting to write or make something for quite some time now. And back in May, she just was on the computer and was just typing up a storm, and I haven't really seen her ever since, but I've read some of her story, and it's really good. And I think she, with her last book, it wasn't her. That wasn't my mom. And when you read the book, you can tell it's not my mom. Like some chapters, I can hear my mom in it, like that's her, you know. But otherwise, it was kind of, I don't know. I thought the lady just kind of took advantage of her, and my mom put a lot of trust in that lady, and she just kind of, I don't know, made my mom look like an idiot, to be honest. So I think this will give my mom a fresh start, and people will see how creative she actually is and how good of a writer she actually is. So I support her, and I'm excited for it to come out, and I think it's going to do really good.
Well, we definitely look forward to that, and I definitely enjoy talking to your mother. We did a two-part interview with her last summer. Again, you can check out the archives at Gerwick.net, two parts that we got into all kinds of topics, the Harts, and of course your father, Davey Boy Smith, and what's been going on with the Harts. And then we'll get into more with the Hart family as we progress you through this interview. But I want to ask you about your WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You got a chance to go down to Miami and check out the events. Why don't you give us kind of a synopsis of what happened down in Miami?
Well, I didn't actually go to the actual WrestleMania events. My brother and my mom were down there for Wrestle Reunion. They were there with it was Sal Corrientes. He was running the Wrestle Reunion there, and it was a lot of fun. Like, it was a different experience because I've gone to like every WrestleMania for like the past 4 or 5 years. So, and I wasn't at that one, I felt like a little, different. But this was a lot of fun, actually. This was a different experience, and I got to see, like, the legends there, like Jake the Snake and Honky Tonk Man. And I could totally have pictured my, like, dad being at one of those. Like, I could just totally have pictured him just loving doing one of those. Like, that would have been right up his alley, being with my mom and Harry doing that. And I helped my mom and Harry sell their new Brackets t-shirts. I'm sure you saw that on my Facebook and stuff, those t-shirts, and they sold really good, and Harry's actually bringing them up to Toronto with him for that Wrestle reunion. So it was hot and beautiful there. It was my first time actually really being in Miami. I live in Florida, but I've just kind of been in Miami like for a day or a few hours, but I was actually there for like 3 or 4 days, and I really enjoyed it. And if Wrestle Reunion's ever in anybody's area, they should definitely check them out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you were mentioning that your social media, obviously you're on Facebook and Twitter, and I remember seeing on Facebook you were posting some of the pictures from the events, meeting some of the legends and some of the parents of the legends down there as well.
Yes, I did. I saw, you know, Atta Maivia Johnson. She was there, this one, because, you know, her son was at this WrestleMania, the main event, And who else did I? I didn't really get, talk to a whole lot of people this time around. You know, when Harry was there and stuff, I felt more, I don't know, like this one. I wouldn't say that I didn't feel unwelcomed, but I just didn't. I just kind of kept to myself and just talked to the people who I know and who I'm friends with and who Harry's friends with, and just kind of said hi and bye to them. But yeah, the previous ones, I was more like talkative, like, oh, I want a picture with you, I want to do this, and not really to answer your question, but.
And, of course, as you were saying, in the Miami, the beach must have been really nice to hang out and
enjoy some
nice weather down there.
Yeah, it's hard because my mom's so, like, beautiful, so when I'm walking next to her, all these guys are like, ooh, who's that? And we're on Miami Beach, and I'm stopping and talking to her, and I look like, I don't know, I'm her giant curly-haired friend or something. I don't look anything like her, and, yeah, but it was fun. It was like a little vacation for me, my mom, and Harry. We don't really get to see a whole lot of each other, spend time with each other lately. So, and it was just us three. I shared a room with my mom, and that was I don't think I want to share a room with her again for some days in a row. No thanks. two Libras in a room, mother daughter, head bumping. Not a good idea.
So I take it you didn't actually get a chance to see the show then, WrestleMania?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually get to see that. I did see Harry and Fit Finley wrestle each other, and it was a fantastic match.
Wow.
You should see it. It was really good. I've never really seen Harry be like a heel because, you know, he looks like a little kid, and he in the face, he looks like, it's, you know, innocent. And so when I saw him, like, screaming and, like, being a true heel, I was like, oh, my God. And, like, I was kind of filming a little bit of it on my iPhone, and my brother is such a solid, good wrestler. Like, I just wish that when he was in WWE that they could have, I don't know. He was amazing, though. That match was amazing, and I'm glad I got to see it.
Let's talk about your brother, because obviously we just recently seen him in WWE. He was a part of the Hart Foundation with a Tyson Kidd, and of course Natalya was their manager, and they even brought in Brett to kind of give them a little bit of a rub, and I thought they were going to really run the ball with the New Heart Foundation, and they kind of pushed them for a little while, and then they kind of fall off the tracks, and
yeah.
Obviously Harry was not there anymore. They released him. What do you think happened there with Harry and WWE? Why do you think they didn't really give him the ball so he could have a chance to run with it?
I don't know. In my personal opinion, and like I don't know, I might get like backlash for saying this later, but I think they were really pushing, because before Harry and TJ were the Hart Dynasty, like Harry was in there like for a couple years and they didn't really do anything with him, and then I think they were going to do something with him and my cousin Ted, and then that didn't work, and then I think that they were pushing Harry and TJ because the Heart and Soul DVD was coming out and they were inducting my grandfather into the Heart Hall of Fame, so they were pushing that, and then it was like literally when that was all done with, it was like, well, we've got nothing for you. And then Harry would give him ideas and push for things. And, you know, I hear stupid people like, oh, he had no charisma. Oh, he was boring. It was like, well, no, he wasn't. Like, nobody gave him a chance to do what he wanted or to, like, give him control or do anything. These people are writing scripts for him. They're telling him what to say. They're telling him what to do. And, you know, he complied and did it. And I don't think they gave him a chance, though, to show what he was capable of doing. And, you know, and when I saw that match with him and Finley, it was – my brother's amazing. Like, and I'm not just saying that because he's my brother. Like, and I'm sorry, if you don't know what to do with a 6'5" wrestling pedigree that's, like, the size of a wall who's in WWE, like, I'm sorry. Like, that's your loss. And if you've ever, like, seen my brother or seen his pictures on Facebook, like, my brother is crazy. Like, he is charismatic. Like, when he imitates somebody, he turns into that person. Like, he was a total package. And I think that they just honestly just didn't want to do anything with him. And I think, and, you know, it could, maybe it just wasn't the right time to do anything with him. I mean, maybe they honestly didn't have any ideas or, but, you know, at the same time, Harry wasn't happy there. And I see him now, and he's so much happier. He feels like he's got control. And I think he feels that he's doing like whatever he wants now. Like, he's a free agent. Like, I never see him. Before, when he was with WWE, I'd see him here all the time. Or he'd go to Los Angeles and train with Josh Barnett, or Arkansas with Billy Robinson. But otherwise, he was just like here every day and at the gym. But now it's like he's gone. He's like, his schedule's booked for I don't know how long, and he's happy with what he's doing, and he doesn't need to feel like he's not good enough, or he's not trying hard enough, or, you know, like, what am I doing wrong? Or now he's just like, okay, doing my own thing. And he's happy, so I'm really proud of him. And he's not trying to go back and be like, oh, I want a job. Like, he's happy, so.
Yeah, I think I said Hart Foundation. I meant the Hart Dynasty. Of course, we're talking your brother Harry and Tyson Kidd, or TJ Wilson. And then you were talking, too, about your brother, obviously, his pedigree, a third-generation wrestler. And then, obviously, your cousin Natalia, also a third-generation wrestler. And I'm not just saying this because you're the Harts, and I have a good relationship with the Harts right now. And I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you now, but it's amazing to me that with the pedigrees both of them have, that with the name, the looks, I mean, Natalia is beautiful. Your brother's, you know, 6'5", he's ripped, he's in great shape, he keeps in tremendous shape, he's always working out. Great wrestler, he's been groomed to be a wrestler for so long now that they can't really find a spot for these people. Obviously, Natalia is there. Natalia's doing this, I don't know, what, farting gimmick they come up with for her.
Ridiculous.
And then Davey, you know, I mean, Davey, your brother Harry. Boy, they look alike, so
yeah.
I was going to make that mistake at some point, but your brother Harry obviously was, as I said, groomed to be a great wrestler, has the pedigree, and yet they can't really find a spot for them. And I heard the same criticism you were talking about. You know, he's boring, he's bland. That's why they got rid of him. And it's just, give the guy a chance. How do you know if the guy is boring or bland? Unless they give him the ball, and let's see what he can do. And with that background, that training, how can you not find a spot? Especially with all the, and I'm not picking on individual wrestlers, I mean, but you watch WWE and you see some of the guys on WWE, even TNA, you watch some of the guys on TNA and you think, they can't find a place for Harry on the show somewhere?
In general, like, you honestly, like, you're,
really?
you're shrugging, you're, like, looking up in the air, you don't know what to do. He's like, okay, like, like, all right, well, then go hire the next, you know, fitness model you see that's never wrestled and, you know, give her a nice fat contract and see where that goes. Like, all right, sure.
Let me ask you, with Harry, has there been any talk with, you know, TNA, or do you think there's, maybe at some point he'll go back to WWE.
Jeff Jarrett's a close member of the, or close friend of the family. So I think, you know, he's definitely thought of it, but I think he's so focused on, like, his possible thing with, like, MMA and stuff. And I think with this release, like, he wants freedom to, like, to do that and to try it out, like, to, because it's actually been a passion of Harry's, like, before he was signed with WWE, he was doing that kind of stuff, like the more amateur and the catch-as-catch-can, and it's a passion of his. So I think he wants to give this a solid effort and a solid try, and he wants to continue to travel and do things and really, really make a bigger name for himself and do more. I mean, if I was him, that's what I would do too. So. And, you know, and this is a risk that he's willing to take, you know, with the whole MMA stuff. I mean, he might do it and it might not work, or he might do it and do good at it. So, you know, I commend him for putting himself out there and making a risk and doing it. So.
Yeah, you know, when I saw, he posted some of the pictures, you know, from the gym, and, of course, he was training with Josh Barnett, who was, of course, in mixed martial arts. And, you know, when I thought about your brother getting into mixed martial arts, I kind of thought of your grandfather, Stu.
Exactly.
And Stu must have just be smiling somewhere, thinking that his grandson could do MMA. And as you said, he takes the risk, but, you know, he could become the next Brock Lesnar. He could be, you know, this great wrestler, went into mixed martial arts and really dominated the sport.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is like, my brother, he's a wrestler. Like, he was born and bred and to wrestle. Wrestling is his passion. You know, he's not, and what WWE, when he was over there, I think they wanted him to be like an actor or something, or just to talk. And he could have done that, but he wasn't given the chance. But he's definitely, you know, that's his, he loves like that wrestling like that my grandfather did, and he's doing it now, and I support him 100%. A lot of people are like, well, he's going to get his face punched out, this is going to happen, he can't do it. It's like, well, you know, we'll just have to see. He's I think he might be able to swing it, actually.
Yeah, I was saying, obviously, your grandfather, Stu, would be smiling, looking down on Harry right now. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I think your father would be, too, wherever he is, looking at his son. And obviously, there was – I remember that match that where they teamed together. There was that tag team match where it was right before your father passed away. They got a chance to team up. I think,
yeah.
I'm sure that was a thrill for your brother to team up with his legendary father. And obviously, I got to think your dad somewhere is really proud of his son and what he's accomplished and, you know, what the future holds for the young man.
Yeah, I definitely think so, too. I think every time that Harry wrestles, I think my dad's somewhere close by watching him. You know, I think so, definitely that he'd be proud of him.
Let's talk about your dad. Obviously, you know, us as wrestling fans, of course, we knew your dad as the wrestler and a great wrestler that he was. We remember him in WWF and WCW and the great runs he had with the Hart Foundation. Of course, the great tag team with the Dynamite Kid. And of course, he teamed up with your Uncle Owen, another great tag team. And so we as wrestling fans remember your father as the great wrestler. But who was he away from the ring? And what are some of your fond memories of your father?
He was just like really fun, really carefree, really goofy. He was my best friend. He was just like kind of like I wouldn't say childlike, but he had like a young personality, and I think that's why him and we were such good friends. And I thought he was like invincible. I thought, you know, it didn't matter how many times he got hurt or how many times something happened, like he would always get back up and do it again. And he really is. He's an inspiration to me, and I'm not saying that because he's my dad, but like my dad went through so much, and like he almost died so many times, and like he would get back up and do it again, and then he never stopped, never quit. He never quit ever. So. Top of my head, I'm trying to think of any stories I've got of him, but I do remember the day before he passed away, he came over, and I made his pizza, and I remember I didn't go to school that day because it was a stupid activity day, and I didn't want to go to it, so he came over, and I made us pizza, and we just watched TV, and it was just me, him, and Harry, and we were just all talking, and he was, like, cracking my toes, and I just remember it being a good time, and he said, oh, and this was a Friday, and he said, okay, I come back from BC, British Columbia, I come back on Monday, and we'll get together, and, like, right when he was leaving, my mom came in, and they went off and talked somewhere, and then the girlfriend he was going out with at the time honked on her car horn, and he went off with her, so he said, I'll see you guys Monday, and I was like, okay, and then it was not even a day that I got the call that something had happened. And things have never really been the same since, obviously, but it was just so out of nowhere what happened to him. To this day, I don't really know what happened to him. I know everybody says it was drugs, it was steroids, it was this, it was that, but in his actual blood work, they couldn't find anything, so I don't know what happened to him, which is a shame. So I think to my opinion is I think his body just had enough.
Right.
So I know that wasn't really a nice cheery story, but that was just a story of I remember it was a really good time the last time I saw him, and I wish so many times I could go back to that day, but you know.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, how did you find out about his passing? Of course, you mentioned that there in your answer, and I wondered too if he had not passed when he did, if he would have lived. What do you see? Where do you think he would have went with his career, and where do you think he might be today?
Today, I think he would definitely have an iPhone for sure. I think he'd be addicted to it. I think he'd probably still be wrestling. you know, you couldn't stop that man from wrestling. That was his life. I don't know if it'd be with WWE per se. I mean, with how things run over there, and you know, my dad would be close to 50 years old, but he'd definitely still be wrestling. He'd definitely still be traveling and doing, you know, all those wrestling appearances and stuff. He would love those. He'd probably move to Florida because I think he wouldn't like the Canadian cold anymore. So I think he would have come with us to Florida.
Yeah, and so many wrestlers seem to end up in Florida these days. There's a lot of them that live down by you in Tampa, the Tampa area.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think he'd join me to England when I go to England every Christmas. I think he'd go with me there and see his family.
Sure. And you were, what, 14 when he passed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Harry was 16?
Harry was 16,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to ask you, too, obviously you were born in Canada. Did you get many chances to be in the dungeon and maybe some of the memories of, you know, kind of growing up there as well?
Yeah, I just remember the dungeon being like, whenever I'd go in there, it would just be like really loud and just hear a lot of slamming and screaming and sound like somebody's getting killed in there. And it was like, you know, it was kind of like dirty, to be honest, because, you know, it's like in an old basement, like a 1900s house basement, and the whole room was like just wood panels around, and you know, it was like a dirty, like, canvas type thing that they were bumping on. And, you know, sometimes you get, like, if you had like a cut and it was exposed to it, you might get, you know, impetigo or something. Like, it wasn't, you know, the most pleasant place, but it was definitely it was fun to watch, you know, everybody, like, so many wrestlers and people trying to be wrestlers down there bumping, and you're watching them. And so some people, you know, now the people that I've seen down there, now they're in WWE or now they're signed to the FCW. And it's pretty crazy because it was like, oh my God, like 10 years ago I saw you guys bumping and doing promos down there. Now you've made it. You're living the dream.
I believe Stu passed away in 2003. Mm-hmm. You would have been like about 16 years old, and obviously Helen is no longer with us, your grandmother. Obviously, again, Stu and Helen have a very public life with wrestling, but again, what were they like away from the spotlight?
My grandmother, she was very, very private. Like she just always just wanted to like be in her room, like just watching TV and eating and have like her cats around her. But you know, my poor grandmother, like, she was always, like, constantly, like, bothered. You know, you got 12 kids and, you know what, like, 37 grandkids and all coming in and out, and plus, like, wrestlers and just people. Because my grandfather's house was, like, an open-door policy. Like, anybody could just come in and come out. And so people were constantly coming in and out all the time. So she kind of just, like, reclused herself in her room. And my grandma, after she got in her car accident with when she's pregnant with my uncle Bruce, she never drove again after that. So she never, you know, if she wanted to escape, she didn't drive. She couldn't. She refused to drive. So she was kind of, but she was a great woman. I really look up to her, and I see a lot of my mom in her. Like I see like how they look alike and stuff, and She was like the backbone of the family, and that's my memories of her. Beautiful woman inside and out. And my grandfather, Harry and I think maybe the other grandchildren, but Harry and I were kind of scared of him when we were little, because, you know, he was kind of a big, intimidating looking guy, and you know, he wouldn't let us leave a meal without us eating all of our food. And, you know, he was nice about it and everything, but it was like, oh, I don't want to eat it. I'm like, okay. We ate the oatmeal that we didn't want to eat. But he was a great man too. And, I feel that like me and Harry had a good connection and a good bond with him. And, I think he saw what him and I had to kind of go through with our parents and, just things that went wrong. And I think he had a you know, a softer spot for us than my other cousins. I'm not saying, you know, he favored us, but I think he definitely sympathized with us, and he always made sure that we were taken care of, and he always took care of my mom. And I know, you know, it's really hard for my mom and stuff because, you know, when things aren't perfect or things aren't right, I know she wishes that she could just go up to that house and see him, or, you know, that was kind of like your escape, you know, if you had a bad day or if you were stranded or you needed a place to go, you could just go into my grandpa's house and have yourself some toast and tea and watch TV, and you could, it was just calm. But now it's like they're gone, and you know, when I drive by that house now, it's like it's not the same house. You know, there's no trespassing signs everywhere, and it's totally redone, and it's just kind of like cold and sterile. As for there was like 20 animals, you know, dogs, cats, I don't know, a monkey maybe. But yeah, I know I miss it a lot, and I know my mom and my Aunt Ellie miss it a lot too. I that's another reason like why I could never imagine living there, is because like whenever I see that house, it breaks my heart. And once my grandpa died, like once he was gone, it was like, I don't know, that was just kind of a sign, like, you know, it's gone. Everything, all you guys have is each other now, so appreciate it. Stop fighting.
Yeah, who does own the dungeon now?
I don't know. As I recall, it was some millionaire person that owned like some business buildings in Calgary, but I don't think he owns it anymore. Now it's up for sale, as far as I know of. Somebody sent me a link to it, and it's like worth like 1.2 or something like that, $1 million.
Wow.
So yeah,
it's too bad somebody couldn't buy it and just make it a wrestling museum.
I know.
I mean, just with the history of that in that house. Wow.
I know.
You know,
open
just
the
dungeon. The dungeon itself is so legendary. All the great wrestlers that trained in the dungeon.
I know.
That they could just make that a museum of some sort.
And I saw, like, pictures of, like, the dungeon now, and it's now, like, all yuppified, and, you know, it's got, like, a little, like, punching bag in it, and it's got, like, the fancy lights, like, on the ceiling, and it's, like, all cold and clean, and it's like, yeah, that's not the dungeon, no?
Yeah. You know, while we're going down memory lane as well, I wanted to ask you about Uncle Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Owen, of course, passed in 1999, tragically. I was trying to do the math, too. I think you would have been about 11 years old when he had passed away. And obviously, very tragic what happened to him. I wondered how you learned of his passing. And then, again, with the same kind of question, you know, what do you remember about Owen kind of away from the ring? And what was he like, you know, as an uncle and as a family member?
Well, I do remember Owen being, he was a really good dad. Like, Owen was always there for his kids. And, you know, when you're a guy wrestling and stuff, like, you know, I wouldn't say that the family takes the back seat, but, like, you know, you don't, when you're home, you come home, the last thing you want to do is, you know, like, go to Disney World or let's go do this. You know, you kind of just want to sleep and eat and maybe work out and go back to sleep. You don't really want to do stuff like that. And Owen was, like, always there, like, always, like, whatever chance he could, like, let's go fishing or let's go do this. Like, he was always so involved with his kids. Like, that was his life. Like, his kids were number one. Like that, and you know, that's definitely one of the things I remember. He was very like protective of them, and it's a shame because you know now his kids, Oge is like 18 now, and you know I don't know what memories he has of his dad because you know he was like 6 or 7 I think when he passed away, and it's
right.
Like such a shame because Owen was like he was such a good dad, but when I learned about his passing, I remember. Me and my cousins were going to have a water balloon fight or like a water fight outside. And it was like a beautiful May Day. And, you know, in Calgary, you know, when you get a day like that, you take advantage of it. So we were all, and I remember me and my cousin Lindsay were like in the bathroom changing into like our bathing suits, I think, to go out. All of a sudden I heard like a something drop or something like something like boom. And I went out and opened the door, and my Aunt Allison was on her knees, and, like, she was just, like, screaming. And I was like, what is going on? And then I remember, like, the phones were just ringing off the hook, and my Uncle Smith said Owen, like, fell into the crowd or something. And I was like, oh, well, I hope he's okay. Like, I didn't think the guy's dead. I was like, what? Oh, I didn't. And then as time went on, you know, it was like, he's dead. It was like, oh, my God. Like, that was, like, I couldn't believe it because Owen, not that, you know, it would be a funny prank or anything, but, you know, I thought it was just something for the storyline, or Owen was, it was a joke or something. And I didn't believe it. And I'm like, oh no, it's just pretend or something. And then, when I went over to my mom's house, that was up the hill from my grandpa's, and she was like hysterical. And then I saw, Jim Ross actually announced on the pay-per-view, because Harry and people were watching it, that he was dead. It was like, oh my God. And then my dad came in, and he said, what happened? And I said, Owen died. And he was like, no, he's not dead. I said, he died. And he was like, oh no. And then he went up and consoled my mom, and they were just miserable. And, and then when I actually saw Owen, it was like, you know, and now it's, and you know, I'm glad that I didn't see my dad when he passed away. Like, I'm glad I didn't view him, because, you know, that would be the last memory I had of my dad. And I'd prefer to have the memory of him be, you know, us eating pizza and having a good time and stuff. But when I saw Owen, like, now that's the last, like, that's what I see. And, and it wasn't Owen. It was like, so that's, it was just so, such a, I think after Owen died, like my family, like they all divided, and it's never been the same since Owen died. It's never been the same. And then obviously my grandma died, and then my dad died, and then my grandpa died. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the saddest part as well, the Owen story, obviously Martha Hart, his wife, has really alienated herself and the children away from the Hart family.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was talking to your Uncle Smith, and Smith was saying that, you know, when was the last time I seen these kids? And it was like, I don't know, is it 10 or 12 years ago? And as you said, I think Oge was 7 years old and mm-hmm. Athena was 2 or 3, I
mm-hmm.
think. And
mm-hmm.
now they're grown. And you said Oge is about 18 now. Now he's becoming a man. He's an adult. And like you said, what memory does he have of his father? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, Martha has really taken away his wrestling career from not only his kids, but the wrestling community. I mean, she's really gone after Vince McMahon and the WWE because of, you know, what happened, the wrongful death lawsuit. Mm-hmm. But the saddest part, I think, is just the relationship that Owen's children don't really know the Hart family. And that's their family. I mean, she can be mad about what happened with wrestling, but at the end of the day, the Harts are still a family.
I know. At the end of the day, like, Owen, like, that's still, you know, he was still passionate about wrestling, and, you know, that was his life. Like, that was what, it's like if that happened to Harry, if he had kids and stuff, and then something tragic happened to him, and, like, me never seeing his kids again, and him never, that his kids never knowing what he did in wrestling and stuff, like, it would just kind of be like, oh, you know, that sucks. But, I mean, I can see, like, with WWE, like, her not giving them stuff because, I mean, I can just see that because she doesn't want them to make money off it. But at the same time, like, I heard she was trying to pull, like, his whole thing off the Heart and Soul DVD, and it was like, well, like, wait a minute. Like, you know, that you got to remember, Owen was still a Heart. He was still a brother. He was still a part of wrestling. Like, he's got to be in there some way. We just can't pretend like he didn't exist or didn't wrestle. Like, you're...
Yeah, I think it's hard for wrestling fans. I think, obviously, from a wrestling fan perspective, we loved Owen. He was a great wrestler. We want to see him, you know, finally get his due. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he should have been a world champion. And then on the other hand, Martha Hart was his wife. She's very upset what happened. I mean, obviously, you can understand from her perspective, too, is if you lost your soulmate, you know, we remember the story where they're going to move into this house and they have the two young children and everything's looking good. And Owen's talking about maybe wrestling a few more years and then he can settle down and be a fireman or a teacher. And then all of a sudden you get a phone call and said that Owen, you know, fell and you know, was killed. And so you can understand her from her perspective as well.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's such a hard thing when you got the children involved. Obviously, like I said, the children don't really know their uncles, their aunts, their cousins. And obviously, again, going back to the wrestling perspective, the wrestling fans don't get a chance to really see Owen anymore. Don't I would love to see an Owen Hart DVD. I mean, I would pay good money to have it. You know, all the great, I mean, you can go on YouTube and see all the great clips, the Nation of Domination and the Hart Foundation and him and Coco Beware and him with your father and Pillman. And I mean, he's got such a great video library. We don't get a chance to really see that stuff. They could market it. And obviously they don't market it because of the lawsuit with Martha, but I guess overall, what is, and I know the Hart family's been kind of divided on this, but what is kind of the overall opinion of Martha? Is there a lot of hard feelings over this now? Because he's essentially sitting on his wrestling career, and that we really are kind of blocked from his wrestling career now.
Yeah, like what you said, like, I think there's definitely, I don't know, like, to be honest, like, after Owen died, like, nobody really saw Martha again. Like, my Aunt Allison, I think, keeps in touch with her, and she sees Oge and Athena, but that's about it. And I think maybe Brett saw her a couple times and was tried to be there for her, but, you know, she just kind of wants to do her own thing, and she doesn't really want anything to do with our family, to be honest. And it was heartbreaking too, because like my grandparents, like, they never saw Oge and Athena again, like, after Owen died. And I know that really, like, hurt them. Like, imagine not seeing your youngest child's grandson or grandchildren, I mean, like, the one that passed away, like, you don't get to see them. Like, and I know that definitely hurt my grandma a lot. So it's such a bad situation. But, you know, it's never changed, and, you know, time can only really, you know, heal it. And I think Martha is still very heartbroken, very mad about it. I don't think she'll ever, you know, want to be like, okay, let's do this with Owen, let's do that with Owen. She just prefers to do her Owen Hart Foundation thing up in Calgary with, you know, the celebrity guests and stuff, and that's all she wants to do.
You know, not to really belabor this, but, you know, kind of going back to your brother and Natty, how they don't really have a lot for them to do. And then I'm thinking, you know, at that time, Owen was, like, super hot. Because you remember, you know, Brett left for WCW, and there was, of course, the screw job, Montreal screw job. And then, remember, Owen took a break. Owen wanted to go to WCW. You know, your father actually got out of his contract. He had to buy himself out of his contract so he could go to WCW. And of course, Owen wanted to follow suit. He was very upset with what was going on. And then they really trapped Owen. He was under contract. They said, no, you have to stay. So Owen took a break, and then they brought him back. And I thought Owen was going to be about as big as Bret Hart, you know, at some point. And for whatever reason, they really never gave him the love. I mean, they gave him the Blackheart gimmick. And then it looked like he was kind of on the verge of being, you know, that next great big star, and then before you know it, he's back being the Blue Blazer again.
Yeah, that's I don't get it either. And I remember my mom said that too, like with my dad as well. She said, you know, if he never left WWE or WWF, he would have become world champion. And it's like, you know, it would have been awesome, but who knows? Like, who knows what would have happened? They may have been dropping him out, or, like, I don't know. Who knows?
You know, that's interesting, because obviously your dad, as I was saying, he got out of his contract. He bought his way out of his contract. He went to WCW, and I think we saw with what happened in WCW, you know, Jim Neidhart went there, your Uncle Brett went there, and the problem with WCW is it was run by committee, that there was really no leadership there. The powers that be wanted to do what they wanted to do and screw everybody else. So, you know, you were saying that if Owen went there, I thought about this too. If Owen could get out of his contract and went to WCW, you know, he should have been a world champion, but then again, they didn't even know how to use Bret Hart.
No.
And he was the hottest star.
Exactly.
He fell in their lap in 98, and they didn't know what to do with the guy.
No.
He was a U.S. champion. You know, it's like, he was the undefeated world champion, never lost in WWF, and then they say, okay, you're the U.S. champion here. Just mind-boggling, the booking back in those days.
I can definitely say that I don't see Brett being, you know, a WCW champion or WCW star. It's always just like WWF or E. Like that's just the last place I remember. Even though, you know, the last place he wrestled was in WCW. Like, in, you know, that was. And I remember when he'd do interviews, he'd be like, WCW star Brett, and it's like, I don't know. It's just hard. Like, he's always WWE to me.
Yep.
they didn't know what they were doing with him.
Right. Now, you know, I was saying that I would love to see an Owen Hart DVD, but the one DVD I'd recommend for people there, if they haven't got a chance to see it, and I'm sure most people have, it's probably one of the most famous documentaries, is the Wrestling with Shadows DVD. I think that's a great one with showing the dungeon. And obviously, it's just amazing how much footage they had of the Montreal Screwjob that they were filming right at this right time to get all that stuff. And of course, your father's on the DVD and Owen's on that DVD. It's just just amazing to look kind of behind the scenes of what was going on to WWF at that time.
It was crazy, too, because they were actually filming something else, and then that all happened. And it was like, it just totally turned into a whole new story. And it was all caught on film.
Are you, I know, obviously, Julie Hart, of course, was Brett's wife at the time. Do you keep in contact with her at all?
Yeah, I do. We're friends on Facebook, and I'm really close with her kids. And yeah, she's doing great. I think she's writing a book as well, as far as I know of her and my Aunt Julie, Aunt Michelle, Dynamite Kid's ex-wife. They're writing something, and I think she's really focused on herself, and she's a grandma now, and I think she's doing really good. So,
you know, with all these books coming out, got to ask you, have you ever thought about writing a book with growing up in the Hart family?
Oh gosh, I'd be like encyclopedia. No, I'm just kidding. I definitely think I will write a book. I think maybe later on in life, because I don't know, I've had such a weird life. Like, I've had such a, like, you know, I've had the best, like, the absolute best times, and then I've had, like, the absolute worst times. You know, at, like, the age of 14, I saw my parents have it all, and then as growing up, and then when I was 14, I saw, like, my whole world crumble, and then we pretty much had to rebuild it, and we're still going, and, you know, there's still some setbacks, and but I definitely think I will. Someday I will.
You get a few more stories and then put it all together and
exactly.
Be a very interesting book.
Yes, exactly.
I want to ask you about Natalia, obviously Natty Neidhart. Of course, we were talking earlier that she's doing this stupid gimmick now where she's passing gas. And obvious question is, how is she doing with it? And do you think at some point they'll get past this and we can get back to a regular storyline for her?
Regular storyline, I don't know. Like, I, to be honest, the last time I watched a WWE episode was when I was in Miami for The Rock's birthday. And that was it. So I don't know, like, who's the stars or who. I don't know much about that. But I saw some people, they'd message me, like, oh, my God, did you see your cousin, what they're doing? And then I YouTubed it, and I was like, oh, my God. That's bad.
Well, how is she dealing with it? How is I know it's tough to do something like this, but how is she dealing with it?
Natty, she's a little trooper. Like, she just goes with the flow, and, I don't think she was, particularly thrilled about it. I mean, what woman would want to do that?
Sure.
But, I think she just thought it was like a something about Mary kind of thing, and, just went with it. And, she's very cooperative, and Natty is very professional. Like, she'll get the job done. You want me to fart? You want me to do this? Okay, I'll do it. Like, she'll do it. And, at the end of the day, I think people see how talented she is, and, I think, isn't it over now, the stupid thing? I think maybe they figured out that, it wasn't doing anything. What person wants to watch that on TV? Like, I think it's done now, as far as I know. But I think she handled it really good. And that's Natty for you. Natty, I definitely look up to her. And she's a true, 100% true professional businesswoman. She gets the job done. So good for her.
I don't know if you really want to, comment too much on this, but, her father's been in trouble with the law. Do you know what's going on, or can you comment on that?
Not really. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I just heard he was there. He had to go to jail, as far as I'm aware of. And the thing I hope is that he'll just get the help he needs. That's just what I hope, that he'll, you know. I you know, we don't need another wrestling tragedy story. We don't, wrestling doesn't need another death, and especially with my family, like, I just hope he gets the help that he needs, and you know, is there to see his grandkids get older and stuff, and that's about it, really.
Yeah, I would second that. If he needs some help, I hope he does get the help that he does need. And then, as you said, we don't need any more wrestling tragedies. We've gone through too many as is right now. So, yeah, definitely hope that the Anvil gets the help he's looking for out there, or hopefully he's realizes he needs some help and he does get the necessary help.
Yeah, and just support him and don't judge or criticize, you know, just realize that the man's got problems and hopefully gets the help.
I want to ask you, too, about a cousin, Teddy Hart. Now, you were mentioning before that Teddy was going to be a part of the Hart dynasty, and I think this was like the second or third time they were going to kind of use him on television, and this never really worked out.
Yeah.
I remember he had a stint with developmental, and then it didn't work out, and they let him go. And I guess what's kind of going on with Teddy right now?
I think he's doing a lot of the independent scene. I know he's doing a lot for Billy Corgan's wrestling promotion. What's that called? Or something W.
Resistance,
yes, yes.
Yes, yep. Uh-huh.
He's doing that, and I think he's doing quite well with it. You know, I don't know if we'll ever see him in WWE, but, you know, it's probably for the better. I mean, Ted's in his own, he does his own thing. It's Ted's way or the highway. You know, I don't think he listens to rules too much, to be honest. And, you know, I think he's really made a name for himself on the independent scene. And, you know, Ted.
I think that's why things haven't worked out with WWE, because Ted's kind of in Ted's world.
Yes, exactly. You know, he walks in with, you know, the silk tiger print outfit and, you know, a diamonds all over him. And, you know, he's definitely a character. Ted's definitely, you know, you'll never meet anybody like Ted. He's something else.
And I think, too, he's pops up occasionally in Mexico as well. I think
that's right. Yep.
Kind of a semi-regular gig down in Mexico, too. So he kind of bounces around, as you said, independently. So he's definitely made a name for himself on the independent scene out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has. And, you know, power to him. I hope he continues to do that. I just hope he doesn't break his neck while he's doing, you know, a move he does at the top when he, like, does a swizzle. It's like a spinning, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, that moonsault.
Right.
Oh, my God, whenever I watch that, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, you have to be careful.
Right. Let me ask you about, we've talked a lot about the Hart family. How about the Smith family? You were talking that you know, once a year you get a chance to see them. How are they doing, and do you get a chance to go with your mom and your brother as well?
The past couple of years I've gone just by myself, but I remember in 2007, I think it was, like, it was just really eating at me to, like, go and see my family over there, because I hadn't seen them since 1998, when we all went to England and Spain, and it was me, Perry, my mom, TJ, yeah, that was it. We all went to England for, like, a month, and we went to Spain, and that was the last time I actually saw them, and that was the last time I saw my grandmother and my Aunt Tracy, who passed away, like, within months of each other, and then Owen died. So I think that, my dad's back being broken, and then he got addicted to prescription pills. You know, I don't know how my dad did it, how he lost all those people and still kept going. Like, oh, my God. But, yeah, that was the last time I saw them. And then in 2007, I was like, I think I should just, like, call him or do something. I didn't really speak to them much. I spoke to them a bit after my dad died, and, you know, obviously they didn't want to talk to anybody, and they were very, very upset about it. And I called them, and I said, you know, I think I'll come for Christmas. And this was, like, in October, and my grandfather was like, okay. And I went over there with my mom, and it was definitely, like, awkward because, you know, one, my dad's not there, and two, it's like my dad's, you know, he's missing there. It's like, it's not the same without him. And then three, I think my grandfather, obviously he was just very, very upset and still and kind of bitter about what had happened. And, you know, I think he thinks if my dad just came back home, that wouldn't have happened. But, you know, after going there and seeing him that time, and then seeing him more, it wasn't as awkward. And, you know, I think as soon as he saw me, he saw, like, you know, I look just like my dad. And then I saw him, and I thought, you look just like my dad. And that was kind of like the mutual thing we had. And, yeah, but they're all great. My grandpa, he's got a girlfriend there, and, you know, he's retired, and he loves life for the most part. I mean, despite the tragedies that have happened to him, all he needs is his news, his pint of beer, and his parrot, you know, beside him. And he's good, though. And I try to go there every Christmas. And I like going there in the summertime, but it's really expensive to go. And I think Harry, he tries to go when he can. And Harry was really trying to go from India to England, but he couldn't. So, I gotta call him. He just reminded me. Tell him happy late Easter.
Sure.
And I saw Dynamite, and he's good.
Good. I was asking about him because I know last time I talked to your mom, I think it was your brother had just recently met him.
Yeah, and saw him. I tried to see him last Christmas, but it didn't happen. But I saw him the time before that, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I just came to his door, and I didn't know if he was going to, like, slam it or, you know. And then he just was like, oh, come on in, and he made me tea, and he's watching his antique shows on TV, and we just talked, and, you know, he said, if you and your mom want to come back here, and I said, is it okay if my mom comes with me when I'm back here? And he was like, yeah, don't worry about it. I was like, okay. And he just asked me how everybody on my family was doing, and, you know, it was, I hadn't seen him since, when I saw him, he just said, who are you? And I said, I'm Georgia, I'm your cousin. And he's like, oh, it's a long time no see. And he's like, come on in. I was like, oh. And he's like, you look really, like, scared. I'm like, I just didn't know what to expect. And he's like, oh, I'm okay. I'm
like, yeah, we've heard the stories that he was very, very, we heard those stories that he was very bitter after, you know, all those years in wrestling.
Yeah, I was expecting him to, like, it was totally different, though, and he just said, like, I'm really sorry about what happened to your dad, and yeah, he was fine, though, so, but he's definitely done with wrestling, I think, so.
How's he doing physically?
He was in a wheelchair, but, you know, I just saw him in the wheelchair pretty much, but he's good.
Gets around anyways.
Yeah, he gets around, and he can do things for himself, and I think it's obviously harder, but he's good.
When did you guys migrate from Canada to Florida?
We actually lived here in 1991, I believe, we moved down here. It was, like, right after my Uncle Dean died, and because that's, you know, where all the wrestlers were and stuff like that, and so my childhood memories, I remember them being in Florida. And then in 1996, we moved back up to Calgary, and then that's when my cousin Matthew died. And we stayed there up until 2008, and we came back down here, and now I'm kind of more of an American gal. I don't know, Canada doesn't seem to be my home anymore. Whenever I go up there, it's not home anymore to me. So
you have dual citizenship?
I've got a dual citizenship, yep. Try to get my UK citizenship, then I'll be a triple threat.
Wow. Very international.
I know. Tell me about it.
Well, also want to ask about Brett. How often do you get a chance to see him, and how's he doing these days?
I saw him at the end of January when he came up to, came down to Florida for the SCW. He was, like, grading the people, and I think he was doing an appearance there, so... Me and my mom went to the show, and we saw him, and he's doing great. He's talking to us about his possible new book ideas, but he's thinking about doing, like, a children's book, and it's going to be, like, in the eyes of his pug, Jojo. And, you know, it's going to be like the Bugs Bunny cartoons, you know, and you just see, like, their legs down, And he's going to do like doing JoJo, what JoJo sees every day. And he's showing you pictures of his granddaughter, Kyra, and talking to me about his new wife. And I didn't get to go to their wedding, unfortunately, because I was busy. But it looked like a really nice ceremony, and I wish I could have gone. But he's good. He's happy and healthy, and you know, he's Brett. He's the man.
He's a hitman.
He's a hitman.
I guess I probably should have said this up front when we were kind of introducing you. What are you doing these days? What have you been up to?
I actually go to school. I go to Connecticut School of Broadcasting here in Tampa. It's a really good school. If anybody has some of their locations and is interested in TV, it's a really good school. And go there. I'm interning with a radio station right now. It's Fox 970. It's nothing. I'm not, you know, anything too important there. I just press buttons and edit. And but you know, it's interning. It's a beginning. It's a start. I'm very much interested in, you know, TV, and I don't know if it's because growing up in wrestling, like the whole cameras and showmanship and like that kind of thing. But like I've always think my dream has been to be on TV and to be like a role model and stuff. So. That's what I'm trying to do right now, and I do that, and I work, and I try to keep this busy beaver. Try to be busy.
Well, I think you definitely have the face for television. I think you're very naturally pretty, and you got a very natural smile. I think if people check out your Facebook pictures, you got a lot of great pictures there, so they can see that you're very naturally pretty, and I think definitely a career in television. Television would be very interesting for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's the goal.
I guess the obvious question is, you know, with all your family in wrestling, how did you never get involved in wrestling?
It just never, like, watching Harry do it was enough for me. And, you know, and to me, obviously times have changed now, but, like, when my dad was doing it, like, it was a man's job. Like, that was, like, the man's job. And I love wrestling. It's always going to be with me, whether I like it or not. Like that, it's like a part of my DNA, obviously. But when you're taking bumps like that and, you know, doing what they're doing in the ring, like, you got to love what you're doing. You got to, like, be, like, 100% passionate about it and devoted to it. And I just never was. I just never, and you can't do it if you don't love it. And I just never, not for me.
Right. Well, again, there's hearts is a very big family. So there's certain hearts that got into it, and there's certain hearts that are involved in other fields.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe something, you know, in the backstage of it, or, you know, being like a presenter type, I could see myself doing that. But as me, you know, taking a bump or that kind of stuff, no, negative, never.
Yeah, you could be a valet or a backstage interviewer.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be interesting for you.
Yeah, that's more logical or more realistic than me, you know, taking the stink face from somebody or something. No, never.
Well, you know, if you're a valet at some point, you have to.
Yeah, that's true. You have to do that. So, my path.
It's inevitable, I would say.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Now, before we wrap up with you, you can mention your Twitter, because I know. Just a few days ago, you finally took the dive into the Twitter world, and within a short period of time, you had like over 1,000 followers.
I know, courtesy of Maddie.
So why don't you go ahead and plug your Twitter,
Twitter.
And your Facebook?
Okay, Facebook. I won't because my Facebook's private. But my Twitter, it's GeorgiaSmith87. That's my Twitter.
Okay, and already you have. Over 1,000 people. I think it was only about a week ago or a few days ago, actually,
like 3 days ago.
Signed up for it, and within a short period of time, you're 400, 500, 600, 700. So
yeah, exactly.
Your popularity grew.
I would accept people on my Facebook, but I've just been burned too many times on there. Just people. I mean, obviously, I've got photos up on my Twitter, but you know, people were taking photos of me and making fake pages, and just like weirdos just writing to me and, you know, being gross. And I was just like, you know what? I'm keeping this private. So I've just kept it private ever since. But on Twitter, that's like, you know, it's just the same as Facebook. I'll, you know, write to people and I don't know. Do you know what I mean though? Like Facebook's more private. When you see my Facebook, you'll see that I've got albums and things like that. I just don't want, you know, people taking them and doing anything with them. So.
Sorry. And obviously too, now that you're going into media, radio or television, that, you know, you don't want a lot of things to get out too. I mean, Facebook can be very positive, but also can be very negative for you too. So you have to be kind of careful what you do with them
exactly.
as well. So I think that's great that you keep things private or just befriend people that you actually know or that you can trust as well.
That's the thing.
So,
yeah, exactly. Right. And I just add people that I know. And that was another thing with Twitter. Everybody's like, you know, if you want to get into like TV, if you want to do that, you need a Twitter. I mean, you got to get with the times here. And I was like, iffy. And I finally just got one. And now I feel like the Twitter pressure. I feel like I got to post things and do things to keep people excited because I'm actually kind of boring. But, you know, I'm trying and I really like it. So.
And now you're addicted to it almost,
addicted
right?
Addicted to it. Exactly.
Well, Georgia Smith, it's been great talking to you today. It's great to kind of go down memory road, even though some of them are kind of a sore spot with us with some of the history of your family. But we do appreciate you giving us an inside perspective of the Hart family and learning more about your uncles and your father, obviously, and your grandfather and your grandmother. Obviously, very public figures that we've kind of learned to learned a lot about from wrestling, but don't know a lot about on a personal perspective. So it's great to learn more about, you know, your brother and Natty and Teddy and getting a chance to learn more about the Hart family. So we appreciate that. And we do wish you the best of luck in all future endeavors with your media pursuits. And we really appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I'm glad we finally done. Despite your schedule and my schedule, we got it done, and I had a lot of fun talking with you.